Hello, my beautiful people. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having an amazing day so far. Before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to my listeners in Iran, Ethiopia, Georgia, Kuwait, Israel. God, I was looking at the analytics this week for the podcast. In the last 7 days, we've had listeners from those countries. And I just want to say thanks so much for being here and for listening. I hope you get value out of the podcast. And I'd love to hear from you. So send me an email. Tell me what you're looking for. Tell me what would help you out. It's so cool to have a podcast and look at the analytics and see where people are listening from. We've had, if I look at the analytics right now, I think last time I had checked, we were listened to in, we are up to 86 countries this podcast is listened to. I'm so proud of that. I'm blown away by that, you guys. Like, literally, that makes my life. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I am blown away by that. Like, I just can't even believe it. I'm smiling right now. It makes me so happy. And I hope that you guys find value from this. So as always, make sure to reach out. Let me know what you're thinking of. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know how we can help. The email will be in the show notes. And, you know, we'd love to find guests that provide value to what you're working on or what your future plans are. That's what this podcast is all about. But I'm so excited for today's guest. I originally saw her speak during AdWorld when I was a speaker earlier this year. She was a speaker and a co-host of the conference, and I was just in awe of her. Not only does she have just a great energy about her, but she is an expert in something that I don't think a lot of us can really say that we know a lot about. And the guest today is Natasha Takahashi. She is the co-founder of a company called School of Bots. And I think for a lot of people, when they think about robots or bots, they probably feel a little intimidated. It's becoming increasingly powerful to use bots for your business. But I think for a lot of people, it's still really scary and really new. And so I wanted to have Natasha on the podcast today to break down how bots can actually be just so valuable for your business and how you can leverage them to automate things, save time, and make more money. And I think for a lot of brands and for a lot of entrepreneurs listening, you're really going to realize where you can set up bots to make your life so much better, like day to day. When Natasha was talking, I just realized how much I could do in my own business even to employ bots and actually get more done without me having to do more work. So Natasha is stellar. I think you guys are going to love today's episode as always. I know I always say that, but I really think today is just so good. And I hope you enjoy it. And I will catch you on the flip side. And airlines and all of these things that are changing how bots are going to be used, we should definitely talk about, because
yes,
I don't think people like really realize that bots, like when people hear chatbots, you know, they just think of like, oh, it's on a website, but like really the technology behind it spans so much farther.
And that's another misconception people have as well. We can slash all sorts of misconceptions during the podcast, but one of the main ones that people will have is, okay, chatbots are like those annoying little chat boxes that pop up on websites. You try to talk to them. They don't give you what you want. It's super annoying. You leave and you like just email the company, or you try to find a phone number, or you try to message them on social, which is primarily where we focus. But that's another big misconception that people have around it being that's just a like one. A live chat agent versus it being a valuable messaging experience that actually helps you get what you need or get to that
totally.
Next step.
Yes. And we've all had those experiences where like, oh my God, just get me to a freaking person. Cause you
indeed.
Don't know what you're
like human,
about.
Human.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do when I like have to call like Walgreens. I'm just like zero. Just get me to
same
someone.
Every time. I know. Zero is just
like, you guys don't even know what I'm trying to ask. Like, just get me to a person. Okay, but let's talk about, how did you get started? Was this something that you always wanted to do, or did this just kind of happen out of something that came into your mind, or like how did you get here?
So this is not something I ever really saw myself getting into, primarily because we live in a world where new careers are being created every single day out of the new technology that we have. So just the same way that like in the 70s, if someone was like, you know, oh, I want to, like no one would ever say, I want to be an Instagram, like social media manager expert. Like that just couldn't even be
that
fathomed.
Incredible. You know? That's called a psychic.
So in the same way, I could have never known that this career path for marketing within the messaging app ecosystem could have been an opportunity, you know, even 10 years ago. So I actually left college to start my marketing agency with my co-founder and now husband. That was back in 2016 when this space just opened up. And the reason that we even knew that any of this was happening with like the marketing and messaging app space, now chatbots have been around since like the 1970s on all sorts of different platforms, but specifically on like messaging apps that we all use, billions of people use every single day, like Messenger, Instagram, DM, WhatsApp, even SMS, considering that that's just such a universal channel and so on. So this really opened up in 2016 when Facebook took a gamble and they're like, hey, we're going to open up automated messaging capabilities on Messenger. Everyone on Facebook can use Messenger and are already trying to reach Facebook pages to talk to businesses. Let's see what we can do with this and try to automate some of that to help people generate leads, qualify them, get more sales, automate customer support, really those three main pillars. I heard about it actually at Facebook's event that they do every single year called F8. And this was back in 2016. They announced it at the event and I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. And at the time I was actually trying to figure out like what I wanted my first business to be because I was ready to drop out of college. It was a little bit of like, okay, let's take a leap here and figure out what I want to do. My co-founder and now husband, Kyle, and I were like, let's take a gamble on this and see if we can create an agency that services clients with this service. Like we see a ton of opportunity here. We both use messaging apps immensely in work and in personal life. Let's see how this kind of goes. And so of course the trek was very long and painful the first few years because this was a brand new space. Trying to help clients and companies understand why they even need to use this was like just insane. We were traveling all over the world as well, doing the whole Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week attempt, which highly do not recommend.
Back when it was. Yeah. Like, so I don't think there's been a book that's been mentioned more on my podcast than that book.
Really? Like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, both like aspirationally, but then also like people who have really been able to harness it and do it.
Yeah. You know, It's such a great resource and it's also a not so amazing resource for the naive people who are just coming into, you know, like, I mean, at the end of the day, everything's a lesson, right? But I really wish that I had stayed in a place where I had like some pillars of life solidified, like maybe friends and family or like home or office space. Like we were just in total chaos as we were like, you know, traveling, to different countries every single month trying to build this marketing agency. So long story short, that's how we got into it. First year was very successful though. We did make six figures in revenue. Our first year as an agency, we were like, okay, this is dope. Let's like try to do a little bit more here. What can we do? How can we expand? And who really can benefit from this service? Because every business can benefit from using a chatbot, but not every business is ready yet. You really want to have the pillars of communication, your business model, your product market fit, all that good stuff before you even start to dive into these channels that eventually can become your top one, your top two channels of revenue, but that initially may be a little bit complicated for you to integrate versus email and other things that you just want to have solidified. Your email, your social medias, your website, you know, all that stuff should be up and running before you even try to add chatbots into the mix.
So you see this thing at F8, which is so funny that F8, I don't know why, but it seems like with everything after 2020, I'm like, what happened to F8? Is it still happening? I don't know.
Yes. They did a virtual version this year in 2021 on June 2nd. It was very minimal compared to what they usually do in person. Each talk was like 10% of the time it usually is in person. But nonetheless, they did kind of have a similar structure where they were like, here's all the different platforms and here's all the different updates and kind of big announcements that we have. But
interesting.
Maybe next year it'll return to its like regular.
Yeah, it'd be like a huge banger. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be exactly. Crazy. Everyone's going to go crazy. So, well, first of all, I want to ask, what year were you in college when you decided?
I was a freshman. So I was only in college for about, how long was I in school? So I went to USC, but I was a part of a business program that was supposed to go from USC to Hong Kong to Italy to then like your last year, you get to pick from one of the three business schools you visited and then you would get three business degrees. So I was like, this is cool. I can go ahead and do this. I wanted to travel. I wanted to learn languages and I wanted to do business. But then first few months of school, I'm like, okay, I'm over this. Like, I don't want to be doing like each, like, I don't want to be learning all this unnecessary stuff when I really just want to get hands-on experience.
Wow.
To build my first business. So yeah, I was really only there. That's amazing.
I've never heard of someone having that like light bulb moment that soon into their college career. What did your parents say about this?
Yeah. So I actually wrote them a letter because like maybe many people can relate. You start to tell your parents something, or quite frankly, anybody, but it's like very important. And then they're like, they think they already know what you're going to say, or they like try to get ahead of you and you don't really get a chance to articulate. Also, maybe in the moment you're like super scared. And so you don't get out the words that you wanted to and in the right way. So for me, not that I'm a perfectionist, but I love to like make sure that things can go in the best way possible. So I wrote them a letter because I was like, this is going to explain everything. So
and I can organize my thoughts.
Exactly. So what I did was I wrote them a letter. I actually put it on Medium after I shared it with them. It was kind of
funny. Oh, really? No way.
I still get emails all the time from people who are like, I'm thinking of leaving college, or like, I'm really unhappy. Like, what should I do? So I think that's cool just because it was kind of an interesting way to share that. Long story short, I was like, here's everything I believe about college and education and where this is going and like what I want to do with my life and what I have planned over the next year. So they, at that point, I had gotten so many scholarships and self-funded like a lot of things that it wasn't like I was relying on them for anything. And so I didn't feel bad about like leaving that. Whereas I know a lot of people will, because they're like, my parents just paid 200 grand for my college education and I want to leave. So I feel blessed in that way, but I felt free to do what I needed to.
Yeah. And also too, when you think about our parents' generation, totally different concept of college, and like to think that college is like an education is a blessing. And then, you know, they might look at our generation and just be like, wait a second, like that's not how we've ever seen it before.
Absolutely. It's like they see college, and even now I still will, like every so often if this topic comes up, people are like, well, college is a place where you can actually start to dive into yourself and get to meet people. And back then, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was the only place you could really get that environment. Well, now there's so many different types of communities available, both virtually and in person, that, you know, you can get that experience in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So you're working with your husband now, and you guys started this company in 2016. Was it business first, relationship second? Like, how did that unfold between you guys?
So we were together before we started the business, which I think is just an important distinction. Yeah, because it wasn't like we fell in love while we were running the business. We fell more in love, if you will, but it definitely strengthened us in a lot of ways, not just the business, but also traveling. We lived in like 34 different places while we were traveling and doing business and everything. But yeah, long story short, we met, I think, a year or a year and a half before we started to work together. And then it's definitely been a challenging road, but it's been inspiring for us to meet other couples, which there have been very few of, but other couples that we have met who have built empires together, who are running even just a lifestyle business together, but are super happy with how they're doing everything and get a chance to spend time together and deepen their relationship in a way that most couples in the world never will. So I'm really grateful for that. Very, very challenging. I do not recommend it to, let's say, the average person without knowing information about you. So we get people who ask us all the time. They're like, my girlfriend and I want to start something. I'm like, you know, it's a great way to test the relationship.
Come here.
But it's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary test, I think. So it just kind of unfolded to where we knew from here, like, these are our first few businesses. And from here, we really want to continue to build our empire of businesses that we're passionate and excited about, buy and sell and do investments and all sorts of things. So we knew there was like a longer vision. It wasn't just the one.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing.
That's how it's like.
What about, so when you're with your husband and you guys are traveling and you have this epiphany about, after going to F8, you have this epiphany about chatbots, and there's this kind of like spark probably that happens. Like, how did you go from running this marketing agency that you had started to see could actually be really, you know, profitable for you guys, to then deciding, okay, wait a second, this could be the next big thing. This is really, there could be something to this. Like, what was that conversation like? And then how did that pan out into you guys integrating it into your business?
Yeah. So for a quick timeline, I left school. He left his job. We started the marketing agency. We stayed in the US for about a month. And then we started travel abroad and just had our agency at the time. So I would say it was probably like month three when we had a really big first like client win. Before that, we were getting results for businesses, but we're still trying to figure things out and like just overall, how the hell do you approach this thing? And like, what do you even build in a conversation that's valuable? Mm-hmm. So we were just doing a lot of testing the first few months. But then in month three, we made quite like we had a big launch with a client where I think we did at least like 50K in sales for them. And it was an wow. e-commerce brand.
That's awesome.
And we're like, whoa, okay, like this is sweet because we finally figured out where we can add the most value, that it's not yeah. just automating customer support. Even lead gen, which is awesome, is not the farthest we can take this. It really is taking people through an entire messaging experience that leads to a conversion. And from there, we decided to focus on e-commerce stores and info commerce businesses that sell online courses or seminars, coaching, that kind of thing, because they have a great business model for conversations. Mm-hmm. Lead gen businesses, you know, even like all sorts of other different industries like home services and other things, local businesses, there's only so far you can take the interaction online before that needs to be taken to like an appointment or in person. So really we saw the most success with info commerce and e-commerce, not to say that it's not successful for others, but that was really our big like light bulb moment. We're like, okay, this is awesome. And then about a year into it though, to like kind of start into the next part of our journey, we were seeing a lot of success with all the clients we were working with. We had great agency partnerships as well with like Facebook ad agencies, social media agencies, anybody who was like doing a marketing service that was complimentary, we were able to partner with and build chatbots for their clients as like a white label or together.
Cool. Smart.
And yeah, that led us to then start School of Bots, which is our education branch of the business. And so we took everything that we had documented, everything that had been successful, templates, checklists, everything, and we put it into a program. We're like, okay, other agencies, come and like test this out and see if you guys can do this. And then that was when like the big light bulb moment really happened, where we had already proven the tech, we had generated a lot of revenue at that point. And so now seeing other people taking our methods and being able to get incredible results as well, like making $1 million in revenue within a few months for one of our Amazing. First people who went through the program and so on, we kind of decided to expand that part as well. Still have both arms of the business now, but those are like the two, some of the big milestones that happened where we're like, okay, this is real. Like it's actually,
this is real. This is actually, yeah. could be really cool for us. Yeah, that's awesome. So then what does it mean when you say educational component? What does that entail?
Yes. So primarily online courses and coaching. So we've tested a lot of different models in terms of like teaching people this skill. It's essentially mm-hmm. the same thing as like saying, how do you teach somebody digital marketing, like at large? How do you teach them email marketing, copywriting, any of those like more marketing-esque skills, not so much like developer and coding boot camps, since we mm-hmm. don't teach anything technical. We started out with one coaching program that we ran for 5 weeks. And then from there, now we have online courses you can go through at your own pace with communities and troubleshooting support and campaign feedback. And then we also have more like intensive coaching programs where agencies can wow. put like their team members through, or we have agency owners who, you know, want to own this whole initiative internally do it too.
Oh, that's so cool. So you're basically putting people in the driver's seat then to do this and empowering them to do it for themselves.
Exactly. And it solved a big problem that we had, which was like, how the hell do we get qualified people into our agency to service our clients? And so it just really comes full circle where like our agency and then our education side of the business really feed each other and have mm-hmm. this symbiotic relationship where anybody new who's going to come to our team has either come from our program who wanted to make a career out of this, or we just put them through our program, and then vice versa in the same way we're able to take everything we're learning at our agency and plug it into our programs for people to be able to go and replicate those successful methods.
So cool. I love that. So for the people listening, they're entrepreneurs, they've started their businesses, and everyone is looking how to scale and how to make things easier yes. for themselves. The biggest complaint that I hear from entrepreneurs, which I'm sure you hear frequently as well, is that social media is taking up so much of their time for a very little return. And that includes creating content. I don't know if you heard, I talked about this before because we had an episode about how Instagram could be dying because of some of the decisions that they're making. And we had a conversation about how entrepreneurs are just spending like their like entire life building yes. content, creating reels, and Instagram had met with influencers and they were talking about how, okay, here are the expectations for content creation. You have to be on stories this amount of times. You have to be on reels this amount of times. And I think that people see the content creation side of all of these platforms and they feel really overwhelmed, but they don't totally. See the other side of it where they could actually make it profitable for their business if they were like smart and savvy about it. So for your business, obviously you're really trying to empower entrepreneurs to, it's not just about customer service. So let's talk about how a chatbot can truly empower these brands to be more than just customer service, but also actually see like the sales output of it.
I love the way you just positioned that, because that is the angle that we're currently taking now that we have found to resonate the most with entrepreneurs and agencies, because that is the biggest problem, is how do you monetize social media? And the beautiful thing about this sector of the chatbot space that we're in when it comes to marketing is that because we're using messaging apps that are tied to social media networks, like Messenger is tied to Facebook, Instagram DM tied to Instagram. Those are two great examples where anything that you're doing with content on Facebook or Instagram can now take people into a conversation. And that now becomes like the chatbot becomes your best salesperson is really the best way to put it. And they're on 24/7. They never get sick, right? They never sleep. They're there at scale to talk to as many people as you want to anytime. So when you think about it that way, then it helps you better understand why it would make sense for you to, if you're going to be building any type of content strategy and putting effort into it on Instagram or Facebook specifically, that you have some sort of, even if it's very minimal, chatbot experience that lets you collect an email or send people a discount code or gets more information about them and maybe recommends one of your free videos for them to watch that then could lead to a sale and gets them into a funnel. So whatever your business model is, a chatbot can help with that, because it's going to do the same thing that you would have to do manually anyways to get somebody's information, or somebody having to fill in a shitty form online where like you're having to click into each of the boxes and it's not mobile optimized and it's terrible experience, just as another example. So that at like a high level is the value that a automated messaging experience can bring. And so for business owners, a good starting point is looking at like, what is one process when it comes to marketing and sales that is taking up the most of your time, or that is really successful right now and that you want to be able to scale at a higher level, but you're having a hard time doing that. Even if you're increasing ad spend, even if you're putting out more content, like you said, and not seeing a boost in ROI despite that. So being able to just craft that sales and marketing oriented chatbot conversation to get people to take whatever actions you want them to. And without going too deep right now, the great thing about a chatbot experience as well, compared to like an email funnel or a landing page funnel, is that you can see where somebody drops off at every single point. So if you needed to ask somebody three questions in order to maybe recommend a product for them from an online store, like let's say it's an e-commerce apparel store or something like that, or maybe you have a coaching business and you're just trying to recommend a product to them, you can see that a lot of people are dropping off after question 2 out of 3. Well, you can now tweak that in the softwares that are available to you that require no code. And now you can increase the success of your campaign much more quickly than you could with pretty much any other medium. Because even like social media, like you said, you put out content, but there's not a very clear point at which you understand like what point did my content convert at.
Totally.
You can see views and engagement, all these things, but
you really can't see that much. When you put it that way, like analytics wise, like you really don't know. I mean, the fact that they just came out with analytics for Reels, and people have been using Reels for forever now. Whereas what you guys are doing, you can really actually see everything that happens. I think that's a great comparison to email, because I think a lot of people, myself included, are kind of putting email on a pedestal right now because, you know, it's 100% ownable. But really what you say too is like when someone wants to learn more about a product, like that's completely ownable too. It's not like the algorithm is going to go into your DMs and actually take away part of that conversation.
Yeah. To that point, when it comes to like owning your list, yes, it's a little bit different with messaging apps because technically you don't own the platform and so you don't own the list, but you're able to get contact information from people like an email or a phone number that you do own. And at the end of the day, when you're building these conversations aren't going to evolve much. They haven't evolved much in decades. And so, or in centuries, really. Like when it comes down to it, the psychology and everything is the same. And so anything that you build for one messaging app right now will be replicable for any messaging app, any medium you want in the future. So you own that creativity and that conversation though, and it can easily be replicated anywhere you want. So I think that's the frame of mind people need to be in when they think about this, because they're like, oh, what if my Facebook page got shut down? Or what if I got banned from this or whatever? And at the end of the day, everything has a risk to it, but this is something that is more so about the marketing psychology you're implementing and the copy, and then being able to just use that on any channels you want.
Ooh, that's really interesting to hear that perspective, because it's true. The marketing psychology has been the same forever. It's really just the different platforms that are different executions really that you see it come to life. What about for someone, because because you and I talked about this before we had started recording. I actually, so like a little bit of a backstory I posted on my Instagram earlier today in stories was the last 2 days, I've been amazed that each time I've used a chatbot for a question, I've like gotten an amazing answer. And I thought my question was really complex. And I'm like, this is really working, because like Natasha and I were talking about how when you call to get your prescription or you just need to like talk to someone, you're usually just frustrated because you know that they're not going to have that exact question or a place where you're going to be able to have that prompt in that quote unquote conversation. But I was so impressed recently that my question got like perfectly answered. Like it spooked me. It was really amazing. What would you say for the people that maybe are like a little skeptical about the accuracy and I think there's maybe a little bit of fear of like letting go because it's not something that they're used to.
Yes. And that the way that we see that misconception or like that fear come to light is people are like, well, our customers want to talk to people. They want to talk to humans. And these days,
I'm laughing because many brands have said that.
But at the end of the day, you know, in this day and age where we're moving so quickly and we want things right now, mm-hmm. the convenience always outweighs you wanting to talk to a human, but having to wait another 5 hours to get your response. And the way that things are looking, it's like, that's not going to change anytime soon. In fact, that's just going to increase. So there is a little bit of difference like per generation, but for the majority of generations that are alive right now, that is the solution that they want as consumers. And so for brands to kind of get out of like the brand and business perspective and jump into the consumer brain for a moment, even just going through that process once, I think that helps them understand that they're like, oh yeah, I don't want to wait another 5 hours just so I can talk to a human who may be in a bad mood today. That's another thing to keep in mind is like humans aren't predictable.
Give me no answer that helps me.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, you can't and you shouldn't want to control, you know, everybody who is working for your organization at all times in terms of attitude and personality. And no matter how great of a person someone is, everyone has bad days and can make mistakes, etc. But mm-hmm. with AI and chatbots, you can have the same friendly experience, helpful experience for everybody, no matter what. And I think that's just another like little factor to mention.
That's a really good one.
That's like the personalities. We can probably, so going back to your question just super quickly, in terms of the fear that people have of accuracy, just to make sure I answer that, the way that we'll position things if like the chatbot can't understand something is, hey, I'm still learning. Forgive me. I didn't understand that.
I'm just a robot. Please just keep patient.
Yes, but I'm getting better every day. That's usually the line we'll use that resonates with people. And we can even make it witty and funny, you know, too, just depending
on
the
brand. But that's
cute
because then all of a sudden you have empathy for a bot.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. And you're like, oh, it's okay. You know, that same psychology exists there. You're like, oh, I get it. You know, that's cool. You're still learning. Yeah, I mean, the same way you're not going to be a total asshole to somebody who's like first day on the job. Maybe you will, but then you'll feel bad later. So
totally.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to tackle that. But at the end of the day, it's not a real problem. It's just the situation that people see in their heads right now as they're trying to wrap their brains around it.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the difference and probably the misconception around chatbots being customer service focused versus chatbots actually being able to increase revenue for brands. A lot of brands, I think, as someone that's in marketing, you know, you talk to so many brands who feel like they've been swindled by like marketing people and told that they're going to increase revenue. And they're like, okay, I've been tricked too many times at this point. So what really does make this difference and actually a true potential solution for that versus just another piece of tech or like another Shopify app that someone's installing?
Yes, that's a great way to think about it. At the end of the day, lots of people get burned by marketing people all the time, like you said. And at the end of the day, there's still not a great way to go through that other than like certified networks and that kind of thing. And like chatbots are pretty new. So for like the average company, either hiring an expert or just training your inside person to start with something super minimum viable, but it's focused on generating revenue is just the best place to start.
So wait, really quick on that note, like when you say you're hiring someone to like take care of the tech or take care of those things internally, you're talking about chatbots specifically or just like someone to oversee the growth marketing piece of the business?
Yeah, to bring somebody in or to assign it to someone like specifically for chatbots. Now, the thing with a chatbot system is that it's not just about the thing that you're building in the messaging app, you want to make sure it's connected to the rest of your business tech stack and ecosystem. So oftentimes when we either come into businesses and consult for them to build these mini chatbot departments or like build up the team that's going to be managing this, there's oftentimes the marketing person, a marketing manager or their existing marketing manager who will manage like the strategy. And then you've got a copywriter who's going to be taking care of the experience, or a conversation designer is really the proper term these days. But then you also will have tech people involved to help do integrations, which don't need to involve code, but you want to be able to connect your chatbot to your email system and to your payment processor and that kind of thing so that you're not sending irrelevant messages and so on. That's one area of that piece.
And then the revenue generating piece. So it's not like customer service. It's not just anything that you're going to install for the trial and then be like, I'm done 14 days later. Mm-hmm. What is it about what you've been able to learn and what you've been able to teach people that actually does, they can see that ROI, right? Because we even talked about Instagram being that same way of like the content creation. People are now having to get uncomfortable showing their face on Reels and like showing up as the face of the business. Whereas before, you know, you didn't have to really do that. There's so many things that an entrepreneur has to do at any given day. And I think now entrepreneurs, especially in this like tech age, are really starting to learn, okay, where am I investing my time that is actually going to have the return, right? Chatbots can be one of those things, especially for the actual monetary outcome, right? How do you guys teach that that's the way that it can be outside of just being customer service, a Q&A? You know, someone's like, oh, I have my FAQs. I'm like, am I just, you know, installing this bot to bring those FAQs to the surface, or can it actually, how does it actually make money for me?
Yeah. So in the first month of strategy, we recommend for Messenger specifically, and then we can actually talk about Instagram as well, because that's opened up recently too. So it's a little bit of a different situation, just the way content is consumed and how you get people into a message. We have a model that we call the minimum viable bot. And the way that we approach the first month of strategy and then the first 90 days is that there is one marketing result that you are aiming to accomplish, one sales result, which are usually paired together, especially if you have like a webinar funnel or a lead magnet, or you're trying to book appointments and close on a call. And then customer support is always important from the beginning, but it shouldn't be the main focus, as we discussed. Being able to automate some of those FAQs is going to help a lot, regardless of what a company's customer support department looks like. But we'll start small. We'll add FAQs just for the offer that we're promoting to accomplish that marketing and sales result. So let's say, for example, that a business has a webinar funnel. Someone can sign up for their free 60-minute webinar anytime that they want. And maybe it happens once a day or a few times a day. And so in order to get traffic into that funnel, you need to think about it in a similar way to how you would get people to like a registration website. Website page where you can send people from Facebook ads and Instagram ads, as well as content that you're creating on your Facebook page. Although to be honest, with Facebook page reach these days, it's pretty difficult to get the numbers you want there. And organic isn't always predictable unless you're creating viral videos every day. So
paid is which is also in and of itself not predictable.
Yes, exactly. You never really, really know. So paid is usually the best place to start for most businesses, just because again, you can have that container in which you're testing this as well. And it's not like just going out to whoever, but you can really make sure that the audience you're targeting is specific to what you want. And so being able to run a campaign, we'll usually do like $1,000 test budget for the first 7 days in order to send traffic through this specific first funnel, if you will, a message funnel that you want to get a specific result for. So let's say it's a webinar into buying an online course, just to make it something simple that probably everyone's experienced at some point. And so as you take people through that, you think about each stage at which you can get information from the person to then use in a sales context. So if somebody's registering for the webinar, we want to ask them information that would help us personalize the sales messages after the webinar. So we might say things like, hey, like what revenue are you at right now in your business? If let's say the webinar is about like business coaching or something, just to make it a little meta and give us an example here. And then maybe we also ask, how many people are on your team? Are you a solopreneur or do you have a team? Because then maybe that changes the pricing option that we present to them later. Hmm. Or even when we're sending messages later and we have like the hook of the message, we might say, hey, since you're a solopreneur right now, trying to scale to build your first team or however it might be, but it's going to be really personalized and they're going to feel like you've taken the time to get get to know them. That always boosts conversions immensely. As we know, personalization is a huge trend that's not going away. And then from there, the customer support aspect comes in then when somebody gets to that sales point. And now there's usually 5 to 10 most common questions that people ask about any given product at any business. Usually things like cost. Is this for me because I am XYZ? Will this work for me because I live in this area of the world and so on? So we've all probably asked these questions at some point in the buying experience, regardless of what your product is, info commerce, e-commerce, a tangible, a service, whatever it might be, using those 5 to 10 FAQs in the sales process, which alleviates some help from the support team to then go to only like the most unique and complex inquiries, then that whole first funnel will allow you to generate sales, ideally within a few days of you launching that, but definitely within the first month, just in case you need to like troubleshoot stuff or you're like super brand new to all this and trying to figure it out. So that in a nutshell is how you can get started, regardless of who you are, regardless of business model or industry.
That's so cool. I love that. What kind of advice would you give to, let's say you could give every entrepreneur just like a few quick sentences about like why this technology is so important for them? What's the one thing that you would say that every entrepreneur needs to pay attention to?
Yes, I think the most important thing everybody needs to understand around this is that this consumer behavior is where everybody is spending their time and attention these days. And that sentence might sound a little bit confusing to people who maybe are not thinking in those terms, but at the end of the day, you spend so much time, not only on social media anymore, but actually on your messaging apps, talking to friends and family and businesses and trying to get things done in your conversations, because that's where magic happens. That's where sales happens. That's where things get done, regardless of what use case it is for. And so once you understand that, which Facebook as a company understands better than almost anybody in the world because they have the most data on humans out of most companies. And so when it comes to them pushing a trend forward or enabling businesses to do something like this messaging automation on Messenger and Instagram DM and WhatsApp, you should pay very close attention to what they're doing and how they're supporting businesses because they see that consumer behavior. They see how much time and attention, like in fact, people spend more time on messaging apps than social media as of 2014.
Oh, wow.
And specifically on mobile as of 2020. Yeah. So looking at those numbers alone, aside from all the other gazillion stats that prove this, this is where people are at. And so if you're not here, you're going to slowly lose your audience because you're going to be in places that they're not spending the majority of their time. That'd be one big thing too. Just constant reminder.
That's a huge thing.
Why are we doing this? This is really tough. Yes. Or like whatever roadblocks you come into. It's like, if you want to stay in business in the next 5 years or even the next, you know, few years and get an edge up as well on your competition and all that.
Totally.
Other stuff,
this is like a mic drop moment. This is like, boom. I mean, seriously though, seriously, if you want to, it's not even get ahead. If you want to keep your business stable, this is going to be the consumer expectation. When you do anything else, especially marketing related, it's around what the consumer wants. So why would this be any different? You know, it shouldn't be.
Exactly. And, you know, going back to your point earlier about how businesses think that people don't want this, well, those businesses aren't really understanding what people want these days or serving their audience enough or really asking the right questions. At the end of the day, sometimes your audience is not going to tell you like what you actually should do or what they really want. You need to tell them and say, hey, I see you doing
like
this.
Shape it.
And so I'm going to offer this for you. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's all about testing too. So you may not have like a huge win out of the gate with this and that's okay, but you are going to see some form of result, whether you start with Messenger or Instagram DM or whatever channel your audience is on.
That's cool. Where do you see the space headed? Like what's on your mind right now of like what you need to start anticipating?
So the Facebook ecosystem is the biggest opportunity for most businesses, especially that are B2C, B2B definitely as well, but B2B is starting to lean more towards like the voice space website specific chat that's not linked to social media and messaging apps. So aside from that, the Facebook ecosystem right now is pushing messaging harder than any other tool or product. And so we started with Messenger, 5 years of testing, billions of dollars in revenue generated. There's thousands of case studies. And now as of June, 2021, they've opened up those same messaging capabilities from Messenger on Instagram DM. And they are right now beta testing WhatsApp, which we have been a part of the beta for all the platforms and now are helping push forward as it becomes more and more public. So long story short, what I mentioned earlier, starting with Messenger, But knowing that it doesn't end there and that you can replicate that experience for any channel in the future is the roadmap that businesses need to take in order to like start simple. Don't get overwhelmed. You don't need to start everywhere, but know that if you don't start right now, then in 5 years, you're going to have a hell of a hard time having to learn 20 different messaging apps that now your customers happen to be on, you know, however it ends up looking, right? There'll probably be a little bit less than that. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you know, essentially there will be more platforms though than ever. And you may need to accommodate for people on those. So that's one important thing to know about, as well as the fact that Facebook is actually creating a way for all three platforms to talk to each other that they call interoperability. Are you familiar with that at all?
No.
Okay. So just a quick deep dive into it, and not even deep dive, but just like definition, that Facebook announced back in 2019 that they're going to enable Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp users to talk to each other, even if they don't have accounts on all three platforms.
Oh, interesting.
So for example, if you were going to message me from Instagram because you love Instagram, but let's say you hate Messenger, then you can send me a message to my account on Messenger, but I don't have to have an Instagram account to be able to talk to you. Now it's kind of like, this maybe not is the best comparison, but how like an iPhone user can talk to an Android user through SMS, but they have different devices.
And it's not blue and it's really annoying.
Yeah, but I know it's not always the best example, but yeah, it still goes through. But Facebook, because they own all three platforms, so interoperability and then understanding, you know, it starts here, but it doesn't end here. And then just knowing what's on the horizon with voice is actually the next big important thing. Like, let's say looking at the next 5 years, because enterprise is always several years ahead of small business and even mid-sized business. With voice, it's an interesting space because discoverability is very low. And so it's not easy to discover businesses. When you do voice, you already know what business you want to interact with. Like, hey, I want to order pizza. I want to order an Uber. Mm. I want to play this music from Spotify. You're not going to say, hey, what are like some music services I should use? You're like, no, I have a Spotify account. I want to use that. Or right. I love Domino's pizza and I want to order from Domino's.
Yes.
So voice is kind of in a weird place right now where once they figure out the discoverability aspect, which will happen when you have a screen that you can use with voice, which they call multimodality, and that's already happening, but again, designing for voice doesn't make sense quite yet monetarily for small business. Once that's available, then that'll be yet another pillar that you'll want to have. Or like on your website, you could talk to the website instead of having to chat or instead of having to browse around. And then especially on mobile, we all know and love and hate Siri at the same time. And so totally. In the same way, tools like that will become more and more ubiquitous as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some people I feel like who I have friends that like send text messages with it. And then I'm just like not there yet. I don't think. Like,
I don't think I will ever be there until it's like absolutely flawless. I just feel like there's always
totally because there's always like, you're I just feel like I have to go back and edit. I'm like, oh, this is annoying.
And then it takes you way longer than it would have taken to just type. But
totally.
Maybe that's just us too. Kind of depends on how fast you can type also.
Yeah, totally. All right. So where can people find you? This was awesome. I feel like we've never had someone on the podcast that is doing what you're doing. It's paving the way. So for people listening, the takeaway is better get started. 5 years, you'll be irrelevant. No one wants that. So start now.
Do it now or
but
die.
Where can people? Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. I mean, hey, there are certain things that, you know, even for some businesses who are somehow still don't want to go e-commerce. It's like scary that there are still some out there that exist, but they do. So where can people find you, learn more, read more, etc.?
Absolutely. Hit us up at schoolofbots.co. It's like School of Rock, but bots, like robots.
Cute. .co.
That's where we've got all the resources, free stuff, our paid trainings if you want to get right into it and just get results as fast as possible or take your team through. Really, whatever you're looking for can be found on our site. And if you want to reach me directly, you can shoot me an email at natasha@schoolofbots.co. Or you can
give your email out like that?
It's all good. It's all good. You know, the interesting thing with giving out contact information is that I think the fear is always like, oh my God, I'm going to get inundated. And then you get like 1% of people. Most people are like, no, I don't want to interact with you yet. I want to like follow you on social and then I'll like reach out to you. So
yeah, it's like there's a certain part of the funnel.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just kind of give it out. Whatever.
That's smart. You know, I mean, that's great. I think that's actually how I emailed you. So I shouldn't be criticizing it because that's pretty much
well,
what
and
happened.
Sometimes, you know what? You probably emailed me because, and this is kind of irrelevant, but also just interesting, is that a lot of conferences these days are like, you cannot pitch anything you know, at the end of your talk. And so, but they're like, but you can give your contact information.
Yeah.
So I'm always just like, shoot me an email to get XYZ or tell me more about you. I'll give you something. So
if you need a transaction, we know what you're really here for. Just here's my email. Yeah. All right. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Sam. It was super fun. And thanks everybody for tuning in. I hope you found this valuable and go and test something out. Go and try this out and, you know, it'll get less scary as you try more and more things with this.
Totally. Okay, I hope you guys learned something new during this episode. I learned so much from Natasha. My mind was blown when I was talking to her. She's so smart. Also, I know that I mentioned that I found her through AdWorld. If you are in the advertising space, you're in the e-commerce space, make sure to check out the AdWorld conference and the e-commerce world conference. I think the e-commerce world, I think actually both, they do them twice a year and they're all virtual. So if you're international, you can definitely attend. And what I love about the conference, actually, this is not sponsored. This is just, I think they do a really good job. What I really like is that they record everything and then you get access to the materials for up to a month. So unlike going to a physical conference where you go in person and then, you know, you just have to rely on your notes to like look back on things, you can actually go back and watch the speakers' recordings for up to a month, which is honestly, I think worth the price alone. And I think the price is very reasonable because it's virtual. So go check that out if you are in the space. And thank you so much, Natasha, once again, for coming on the podcast. If you guys felt like this episode resonated with you in any way and you want to talk about it, feel free to share with a friend, send us an email in the email in the show notes, or just write us a review. That always helps us get in front of more people. And I am super grateful for it. And as always, make sure to let me know if you have any cool founders or people that you'd like to be featured, or even just topics that you'd like to hear about. I am all ears. So thank you so much again for listening to the podcast this week. You guys are the best, and I will see you in next week's episode. Have a good one.